Well, two close friends of this radio broadcast, our chairman Ralph Rosenbaum and the wonderful David Burke, who both, of course, have established roots in East Brunswick, New Jersey, where, by the way, this coming Wednesday night, Mrs. Rivka Siegel is going to be speaking. She's in from Jerusalem, and she's going to be giving one of her lectures. Anyway, I digress. So both Ralph and David recommended speaking with Sally Poulat. Sally is the, let me get the exact title here, the Development Coordinator for Southeastern United States for the Leket organization, one that we're very familiar with and that our listeners have been, I think, donating to and volunteering for many, many years. And this will add, of course, to our Elul Chesed campaign as Leket continues to undertake additional responsibilities during the wartime. And we'll find out about that and many other things from Sally, who's with us live in studio this morning here at JM in the AM. A pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thank you, Nahum. Great to be here.
Appreciate that. And how are our friends at Leket doing?
We're doing great, working harder than ever to provide for the most unfortunate folks in Israel.
And the how right you are, and that list of unfortunate people in Israel continues to grow during these times. But tell us about the very beginning. Remind our listeners how this whole Leket effort began.
Great. Joseph Gittler, who is our founder and chairman, made Aliyah with his family back in 2000. In 2003, he was at an event where we all kind of go to events.
20 years ago.
Yeah, 21 years ago, yeah. And he asked the caterer, like, what happens to all this leftover amazing food that nobody eats? The caterer said, well, hey, you know, we feed the staff, and then at the end of that, it gets thrown in the garbage because we can't keep it because of health reasons, what have you. Joseph started doing some investigation with nonprofits to find out, can we get this food that's unused to them in a timely manner and have them be able to give it to people who need meals that don't have good meals? So it started off with Joseph in a van going to pick up meals from caterers across the area.
And distributing them.
Yes.
And this audience and many other people around the world, I'm sure the bulk of them from the United States, have been extremely supportive over the years as this effort has grown, because Leket now is not just picking up and gathering together leftover meals and distributing them. Now it's become a full operation of trying to save whatever food is savable. And I mean food that literally it might be in the ground right now. We're talking about produce that actually is growing as we speak. And they've made this effort to, you know, save as much food as possible. And I would have guessed that on a regular basis, tons and tons of food now, as compared to the old days, is being rescued.
So there's two major pieces of our organization from a food rescue perspective. And by the way, Leket is the National Food Bank of Israel. Wow. Many people don't know that.
When did that become official?
It's been for a while.
Wow.
But I could tell you that we now rescue produce as well as meals, which is, again, two different things.
Right.
The meals that we rescue are primarily from the IDF, from corporate events that have leftover meals, and from hotels.
Right.
We pick those up and then get them out to people, nonprofits. There are about 60 nonprofits that deal with prepared food, and then get it to the final folks that need it the most.
We'd be shocked how much waste there is out there, right?
It's crazy, as a matter of fact.
And Israel's pretty good, actually, at making sure there's less waste, and still, we'd be shocked at how much waste there is.
So there is a tremendous amount of waste. It's about 2.6 million tons.
Wow.
Okay, a year. So then we have the produce, which is what most people know Leket for.
Which is funny, because it's not why they were founded, and it's not the original mission, and yet it's become the number one thing that people think about when they think about Leket.
Exactly.
And that's pretty simple, or maybe I shouldn't say that, because nothing's simple when it comes to this area. But basically, they are trying to gather together, right?
Yes.
Little Akate, to gather together as much of the produce that would either be unused or not usable by, you know, by the mainstream industry, et cetera, exactly. Gather as much of it together and distribute it to people in need.
100%. So a farmer had found out that Joseph's collecting meals.
Right.
He goes, hey, listen, last night we had a terrible hailstorm. Mm. I have a crate of persimmons that are not pretty.
No one's going to want them.
Come get them.
Right.
Okay, so that's what started the whole produce piece of it.
Right.
Started with one farmer. We are now up to 800 farmers that provide surplus fruits and vegetables to us. And we have a team that will go out. The farmer will say, you know, go get these, this particular area. It's all yours.
Right.
Or we have a couple of skids of ugly fruit. Take that.
Right.
They're completely edible. And why waste it? So we pick up the produce. We bring it back with our trucks to our logistics center right outside of Renana. We sort it through the amazing volunteer teams that come in and help us out from all over the world, primarily America. And then we get it back out to 296 nonprofits for distribution.
Sally Poulatz here. We're talking about Leket. When people do come from the United States and volunteer for Leket, what are they doing? They're spending their day doing what?
So there's right now there's three.
Raise that a drop.
Thank
the
you.
Mic. Just raise the mic.
Sorry about
go.
That. Okay. So there's three different ways that you can volunteer with us. One is we actually have a field that's been loaned to us in Rishon, right outside of Tel Aviv,
right.
Where we could be planting anything or be picking anything from kohlrabi to sweet potatoes to carrots. So you could come with your family and pick. It's for all ages. It's
your own Leket farm.
It's your own. It doesn't belong to us. It's been given to us to actually harvest.
Wow.
Okay. That's pretty cool. So we have that program. We have the logistics center that I just mentioned
right.
in Renana.
And that's what? Separating,
sorting, packing
right.
so that it goes to the nonprofits from
right.
there.
So you get more full of dirt on the first one than the second one, right?
Correct.
Okay, just keep that in mind. You have to dress
yes.
properly if you want to do the first
oh,
one.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you got to be comfortable in you know, you can't wear flip-flops, those kinds of things. And the first one is really fun for the family.
Right.
Like, we even have a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah
right.
program.
Right, just you may get a little muddy at times.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun.
The second is a separating. Is there another one?
Yes. We started something since October 7th where we actually are running buses to farmers in the Gaza envelope, about 50 buses a week.
Meaning to get them there.
To get them there. We'll leave out of Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Renana. We run full buses of volunteers to different farms in the Gaza envelope to help them with the labor shortage since the war started. And we run 7 buses a week up to the north to help those farmers as well.
I'm trying to think what town my wife did this in when we were in Israel. I just can't remember which farm it was at. But I didn't realize that people are actually going that close to the border to help out.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually, as soon as, I don't know if you want to kind of transition a little bit to October 7th.
Yeah, sure.
We had to, well, first of all, we think of our produce operation as the FedEx of produce.
Right.
Because what we do, as I mentioned, is we help people pick stuff in the fields, we bring it to Renana, we sort it, and then we get it back out. It's exactly like the operation of FedEx. I worked there 33 years.
In FedEx?
At FedEx. So it's like, wow, this is like I'm doing this for food now. It's weird.
But every piece of fruit doesn't have to go to Tennessee first overnight.
Correct. But every piece of fruit has to come to Renana. So,
is that true? That's funny.
There you go.
You must have trucks everywhere.
We do have trucks. We have refrigerated trucks for the prepared foods that we pick up because we have certain health and safety standards. That food has to be kept at a certain temperature.
Yeah.
We have refrigeration units all over Israel for those. And then we have the trucks for the produce. So we pick up pallets of produce and move it around and make things happen. But, you know, when we're talking about, like, having this infrastructure, it's a whole logistics operation.
Well, it sounds like it.
Obviously.
I didn't realize it was this large.
We have, I think from my business experience, I think it's a pretty lean organization. I think about 150 of us that work full-time, including drivers and marketing and, Joseph Gittler is still very much part of, getting out there and meeting people and talking about what we do and why we do it. So about 150 of us, and we make this operation work where we feed 330,000 people a week.
When did you first get involved? with like it?
July 1st.
Just now?
Yeah.
Because the I wonder what the tipping point was. I wonder what year did this thing go from being, you know, what was a one-man or just a few people operation into what you just described, you know, hundreds of people who are part of the daily operation, so many volunteers who are also, you know, such an important part of it.
I just got a message this morning from one of our one of my colleagues who is a grant writer. We've had about 78,000 volunteers since the start of the war alone.
Just now, this year?
This year. And the year's not over, right?
Yeah.
People have come in from everywhere to help us out in these areas. So whether it's in the field or the logistics center or just going directly down to farms.
Do other countries ever contact people like Leket to try to model their food saving program? Because there are countries that we know have terrible poverty and starvation problems, and I would think that a lot of your system would work for them.
Yeah, in fact, I think our CEO, Giddy Crouch, just was in Australia talking to people and who run food banks there.
Right.
We've been doing some things with people in Northern Africa. So, yes, people have come to Leket to see the model.
Once you become a model for, you know, for internationals, you know, once you make an impression internationally, you know that the organization is doing something significant, to say the least. All right. How do people, we're going to talk more about October 7th in a second. How do people support Leket, especially this time of year? Because I was told by my amazing director of operations, Avrami, that you guys are running a special Rosh Hashanah campaign.
He is correct.
He is right. He's always right.
He's right. It's like an e-card. If you wanted to put up to 180 names and be on behalf of somebody or in honor of somebody, it starts at $36 and it goes whatever you want to do from there.
And that's available on the website?
On the website.
Which is?
Leket.org, www.leket.org.
L-E-K-E-T, and it's as simple as that, leket.org.
As simple as that. And the front page is a button you could press to donate, and it's a 501c, so you get a tax receipt right away.
And we're encouraging everybody to support Leket, and it's part, of course, it will be part later on today of our Rosh Hashanah, or I should say our Elul Rosh Hashanah Chesed campaign, support the work of Leket. All right, so you alluded to it before. Obviously, the effort to get farmers some help down south and in places that, you know, where the personnel, I'm assuming, are either in the Army or in the reserves or, you know, where the manpower is not nearly as robust as it usually is. So that's obviously one big effort. But also, I would guess that because of October 7th, there are people who are now in the category of needing to be helped by Leket who were not in that category before.
Right. So the need has increased anywhere from 22 to 41% since the war began. And Leket was in a unique position based on our infrastructure to help people both who needed meals, who contacted us, as well as the farmers. For 21 years, the farmers, again, over 800 of them.
Right.
have been providing us with their surplus produce. We felt it was incumbent to step up to the plate and help them. And we were very fortunate because when the war began, I'm sorry. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
We had an incredible outpouring of funds that came from all over the world, primarily from the United States, where people wanted to help. So we had an influx of funds. And we said, how do we best help the farmers and the people that have been evacuated from these kibbutzim and these moshavs? Okay. 40% of the labor force for the farmers stopped coming in. Okay, you had the Thai workers. They were about maybe 10,000 of them a day, day laborers. They were sent back to Thailand on orders of their king. You know, as we all know, some were taken hostage, some were murdered. So they didn't care who they got. And then you had about 20 to 30,000 Palestinians coming in a day. And obviously,
and that stopped.
Oh, thank God. So how do they, you know, it was a time of year where they were, the farmers were not only picking, remember Simchat Torah, right? But they were also planting the next crop.
Sure.
So they had to really get some help, and there were farmers that actually were considering closing shop as a result of not having the labor to do this. Leckett mobilized, and we had a team of people that were working with the farmers who had supported us for all these years, and back and forth, we coordinated efforts to get buses down to them filled with people so that they can at least get their crops picked, and then the other crops, the new crops planted. 65% of Israelis within the first 3 months were volunteering in some way, shape, or form.
And some people from outside of Israel as well, yeah.
Yeah, oh, a ton of people came from. I mean, listen, I was volunteering at Sarel, which is another amazing organization where we were packing things for the soldiers. So everybody really stepped up to the plate in Israel, and then we had an influx of Americans coming in, and both Jewish, non-Jewish, outstanding. So getting the labor to the farmers was an immediate need. Helping them with debit cards and vouchers. A lot of them had to leave their farms right away. The terrorists, part of their mission was to destroy the crops and destroy the vehicles and the tractors. So they just very randomly destroyed everything in their sight. And so these farmers, now they get back to their fields when it was safe. They don't have the equipment to do what they need to do, right? So Leckett helped with providing cash incentives to them and very, very low interest type of programs. We partnered with a company called Strauss in Israel, which does the elite chocolate.
Sure.
And they were able to match our contribution of about 4 million shekel. And so a lot of grants and loans and all these kinds of things to help the farmers go. The other major thing that we did was these farmers were giving us surplus stuff, right, for the last 21 years. Now they're just about getting enough to sell to market. So we actually were now buying their produce, which we never did before, so that they had the income. Okay. The tourist industry took a nosedive, as everyone can imagine. So what we did on those buses was we put actually tour guides on the buses each day so that they had Parnassa coming in as well.
Wow.
So we did some amazing stuff just to keep, you know, agriculture is so important, is it?
Well, a lot of the things that you've been mentioning, we knew that people stepped up and really helped cover the bases in all these different areas. I just didn't realize that Leckett was doing so much of it. I didn't realize that they had their hands in so many of it. Of these efforts, and obviously continues until today. I mean, it's no different now than it was a few months ago.
I'm telling you, what I'm telling you about the buses going south every day is still happening.
Right.
Yes.
Going on right now.
It's going on right now. And we still had to feed those 330,000 people a week, given everything that happened. And once the war broke out, as you can imagine, the IDF, who gives us their surplus meals, were a little bit busy coordinating
plus they needed all the food now.
Right. And
also, there were less events. Weddings went from real wedding halls to 10 people, 20 people, especially for the displaced brides and grooms. I saw that up close and personal last year. So we're talking about, you know, a lot less leftover food.
Exactly. So what did we do? We decided to, again, take this influx of money the first couple of months that we got, and we started purchasing meals to meet that demand plus.
Right.
What else was coming in.
And obviously helped the families that were selling the meals.
100%. The evacuees themselves from the south and the north were displaced, as you know. We still have over 100 and probably 20,000-30,000 people that are displaced now, more from the north than the south. But you have people who still haven't gotten back to the south either.
Right.
They got displaced and they got put in hotels and Airbnbs. We provided for them vouchers, debit cards to buy essentials like clothing, and they had to just leave. It was one of those things. They didn't have time to pack a few suitcases.
Right.
So we did that as well. We purchased those meals for them that they needed. We did some pretty unique things where we put up little farm stands in lobbies of hotels with cucumbers and tomatoes.
Oh, I saw the one you did in Cinema City. Right.
There you go.
Right.
Okay. And
you invited a bunch of farmers to come and sell that day. I remember that. Yeah. Right.
And just even for the people that, you know, listen, it's great to be in a hotel for a week when you're on vacation, but when you're talking about 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks.
Or months.
Or months.
it's what, not what, that much fun.
100%.
Sally Poulat's here. Everybody's encouraged to support Leket. By the way, who is supporting Leket? Like, is most of this coming from small donations around the world? You just made a trip to Southeastern United States. Are there people giving, you know, $1 million at a time or not?
You know, there are foundations that are helping us. Foundations. Right. I had the honor of meeting with a lot of our donors in Atlanta last week.
Are they a very supportive community?
Amazing. Amazing. Nice. Amazing group of folks down there. A shout out to the Hollands and the Katzes who hosted us. Joseph actually came in last week with me. We met with some foundations, as I mentioned. We met with some of our larger donors. And then a lot of synagogues, just to get the word out. David and Donna were gracious enough to have me speak at the Young Israel in East Brunswick last night. And, you know, a lot of American Jews know or have heard about Leket. But my goal here was to tell them something they didn't know.
Well,
about.
Even I didn't realize it was this magnitude. And yeah. I think I'm usually, you know, up on these things. I didn't realize that they're doing stuff at this level, frankly.
Yeah.
And call it a vote to you and to all of everybody at Leket.
Thank you.
That's the story, everybody. Go to leket.org. Leket.org. The Rosh Hashanah campaign is on. And you can sponsor at whatever level you feel is appropriate. Just go to leket.org, leket.org, participate in the Rosh Hashanah campaign. And we should mention that there are a lot of people, I hope, based on my conversation with the general manager of the Inbal Hotel, I think I'm right, there are a lot of people who are going to be in Israel in the month of Tishrei. So the question is, even with all the holidays, am I right that there are volunteer opportunities even
100%.
In between all the holiday days?
For sure.
Should they go to the website? What should they do?
The easiest thing to do is go to the website, or you could contact me at sally@leket.org. I'd be glad to. We have an amazing volunteer team that will set you up with the right volunteer opportunity based on ages of the family members and whatnot.
All right. And people, I hope, will take advantage of that. And obviously that holds true for the entire year. Anytime around the year that people want to volunteer once they're in Israel with their family.
We'd love to have you.
Exactly. And like I said, we're going to make this part of our Elul Chesed campaign and remind everybody to support Leket by going to the website at leket.org. And it is amazing. 21 years. And I think I remember the first year they were in existence. And the growth is remarkable. The need, unfortunately, is so great, which is sad. But look how, you know, you've turned a very difficult situation into really one of tremendous chesed and helping out people who are in great need, which is amazing. Sally Poulat, please give our regards to everybody in the Holy Land.
Thank you. I will. And thank you for your unbelievable support and having me on this morning.
A pleasure. And my thanks again to Ralph and David.
There you go.
you came with tremendous endorsements, with approbations. How do you like that?
A shout out to Ralph and David. Thank you so much, David.
And we thank them very very much. There are a couple of our listeners we like having fun with, so we give them the recognition. In addition, we have a good time. It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, on the beloved NSN app.